The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. My email, by the way, is bill@billmyersshow.com. I'm going to give some attention to an email I got last night concerning what topics we do and maybe sometimes what topics we don't do. I think it's worthy of a conversation, all right? And by the way, since we were coming out of a Coast to Coast AM promo there, and they do a lot of talk about alien technology, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm delving into that this morning because there's going to be another hearing Wednesday on Capitol Hill about the UFOs. Of course, they call them now UAPs. I don't know why they had to change the name, but L.A. Marzulli is author of a pretty important book on the subject called Rungs of Disclosure, Following the Trail of Extraterrestrials and the End Times. He's looking at it from more of a spiritual war type of situation going on. I think it's quite interesting. He's not one of those guys that's talking about, oh, these are just our friends and our sky buddies. You know, but anyway, I think it's he has a thought-provoking look at this, and he's been a guest on Coast to Coast quite often. And given that Capitol Hill is going to be all over this phenomena tomorrow, I don't know. Maybe this is to distract us from the Kamala loss. I don't know, but we'll just see. We'll talk with L.A. Marzulli in about 20 minutes about this. Now, a little closer to home yesterday, we're finding out more about just an incredible crime spree that happened on Friday morning. And I think, you know, it's so strange what happened with all the focus that had been on the election and the analysis and sometimes just the plain old just nastiness that could be part of real life kind of got, well, we didn't even hear about what happened in Central Point until after the show. But now we're starting to learn more about that bizarre carjacking shooting in Central Point. And this was a big deal. KLBA5 reporting that this is a multi-location crime spree on Friday. And one man was murdered. And then another Central Point woman shot in the head after the suspect tried to carjack her. And it was a 7:30 Friday morning on South 4th Street in Central Point. And police say that 42-year-old DeVary Bynum was found dead inside the home after he had been shot. Minutes later, a second shooting happened about four blocks away on Bush Street. And according to the Central Point Police Department, that's where the suspect, 45-year-old William Frombach, tried to carjack a woman, tried to switch vehicles, carjacking a woman. And the woman tried to drive away and then was shot in the head. She was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time, according to Lieutenant Josh Abbott with Central Point Police. A crime of opportunity is what they think this was. After the first shooting, the suspect fled trying to switch vehicles. Just happened to be the person that he saw. Woman's now in the hospital. We know more about her now, too, and I'll give you that story in just a moment. Life-threatening injuries. William Frombach arrested 8 a.m. Friday within an hour of the two shootings while walking on North 5th Street. He's now facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder, attempted murder, assault, aggravated animal abuse, felon in possession of a firearm, and unlawful possession of a firearm. And my interesting question is, we try to look into the background then, is why was this arguably violent man still on the streets at the moment? I don't know. Maybe he served his time, or was it one of those things where they cut him loose for whatever reason? We don't know, you know, at this point. Now, the woman that was shot in the head is in the hospital. There's a GoFundMe for her right now. It's more than $25,000 raised so far. Her name, by the way, is Elizabeth Hadley. Elizabeth Hadley. And after that Friday shooting, she was in surgery. Now she's in ICU. 22-year-old Crater High graduate, just on her way to work. Just like Central Point Police talked about, in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so they have a GoFundMe for the expenses there, $25,000. Well worth contributing to that one if you wanted to kick in, because there's probably going to be a lot of expenses on something like this. Very sad situation. She did the right thing, though. I mean, she did the best thing she could have this side of pulling out her own gun and having blown away Frombach. Ideally, that would have been the best way to have gone along. Oh, okay. You want to, you know, course, the other aspect of it is somebody wants to carjack you or just get you out of the car. I don't know, give it to you. But I understand that that instinct just to drive off is actually not a bad instinct most of the time. Most of the time, people aren't going to be that accurate of a shot if you hit the gas and you just floor it. And maybe the thing, you know, trying to Monday morning quarterback that kind of stuff is just really, really hard. But you think about it, you floor it, you get down so that, you know, you're less of a target. I don't know. But wrong place, wrong time. Very sad situation at this point. Another time, something else that people, I think, really forget about is if we are into hinky time, carjackings, things like that. We've already seen a lot of that happen in Portland up to this point. And you're in a vehicle. You know, someone pulls a gun and points it at you as you're pulling up to an intersection or something like that. The thing to do is to run them over. And I've watched a lot of YouTube videos in which people have had their dash cams in which gangbangers have even tried to do this thing. We're going to carjack you. They pull out a gun. They point it at you. Floor it. Run them over. Done. And hopefully you have a dash cam so that way you can use it if there's, the person you ran over and killed, he was just, he just graduated from the educational institution and he loved to play music and he was just a great, and he had five children at the age of 19, but he was fine. You know, so that way you can defend against that, that kind of stuff. But, you know, like Peters was talking about, get a dash cam and someone tries to carjack you like this poor woman in Central Point, Elizabeth Headley, run him over. Run them over beforehand. You have a 2-ton weapon in many cases. Or even if it's a smaller car, a 1.5-ton weapon, you're still doing good, I would think. All right? 770-563-3770-KMED. Some of the national news which is going on, a lot of motion in the Trump administration. Donald Trump has asked former Green Beret Mike Waltz to be national security advisor. Wall Street Journal reporting. President-elect Donald Trump has asked him, Waltz served in Afghanistan, Middle East, and Africa, to be national security advisor. National security advisor, highly influential post appointed by the president that does not require Senate confirmation. Kind of like the border czar, which we were talking about yesterday. You know, the border czar there. And, you know, Mike Holman, he's hardcore, and it sounds like Mike Waltz will be a hardcore too. Tom Homan, Mike Waltz. Waltz will step into his role, according to the Wall Street Journal, amid prolonged conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East. Trump expected to try to prevent further escalation. Now, Trump has also appointed Representative Elise Stefanik to be the ambassador to the United Nations. And he's honored to do that, supposedly. Now, Elise is an incredibly strong, tough, and smart America First fighter. This, according to the president. We'll see how that ends up working, too. I already told you about Tom Homan, who was talking about that yesterday with the FAIR people. Stephanie Miller for Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. Stephanie Miller for that piece here. Meanwhile, Hezbollah launches 165 missiles at northern Israel. I'm sure that our national security advisors and everything else will have plenty of work to do here over the next few years, okay? 770-563-3770-KMED. I wanted to address an email here, and since it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, I wanted to address a email that a listener sent to me, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. And I think, you know, here it is. I'm going to be talking about extraterrestrials in Congress, but at the same time, I'm not a big fan of diving down the geoengineering and the chemtrail rabbit hole, okay? And good listener, Brother Louie, wrote me, and I wanted to thoughtfully answer some of those concerns. And then we can talk about that maybe if you wish. It's 20 minutes after 6. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Lose your car key or remote? Don't get stuck without a spare.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service, and I'm on KMED.
6:23, we're going to catch up with Lisa tomorrow. It's either tomorrow or Thursday on Open for Business. Haven't seen Lisa for a while. Looking forward to the talk as we kick around some automotive issues there, too. I think it's actually Thursday on Thursday's show. All right, 22 minutes after 6. I wanted to go over some emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And if you need a crown, what they really specialize in there is that they can give you same-day crowns in many cases, same day, I should say, because they have an in-house lab, which is pretty darn cool. And they showed me how it worked, took me back, because I was getting a crown there one day. And they said, okay, oh, we already have all the pictures of the computers inside your mouth, and now we have this machine here in the lab, and it just starts grinding it down. It's beautiful. Then, boom, they put it in like 30 minutes later. You just got to love that kind of convenience. It used to be that, what, you'd have to wait a week or two for something to go out of town. No, they've got it there. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. All right. And we had Wes write me from Grants Pass saying, hey, Bill, yesterday you were asking if it is the Oregon Attorney General's job to sue the Trump administration. And while the Oregon AG is typically unhinged and misguided, I'm happy to see red states oppose federal tyranny, as does Texas and many others. Our attack dog is just snarling at the wrong person. Wes from Grants Pass. Wes, I appreciate you writing about that. And he carbon copied me on Ken Paxton, Attorney General of Texas, talking about the 100th lawsuit filed against the Biden-Harris administration. And point well taken, Wes. I think the difference between when the left wing is going after the federal government, it's usually not about protecting our well, I guess they're going to claim it's about protecting our rights, but it's more about making sure that the money goes. In fact, I remember Letitia James, of course, big person in New York, in that press conference that she had. That, hey, we know we're keeping an eye on President Trump, and we're going to make sure that the money keeps flowing to New York, as if the states have the right to a claim of money that people have sent to the United States government. And, you know, we're going to make sure that we're suing them to make sure that the grant stream funding continues here, no matter what we're doing to it. And I think that's the problem I have with the left-wing attorney generals. And the left-wing attorney generals, of course, are in a predetermined outcome that Trump, Hitler, hence must be sued for whatever reason. And I think that is the difference. But point well taken, all right? And I ended up getting an email yesterday from Brother Louie. Brother Louie, who we talk to every now and then. I like Brother Louie, good guy. And he's from the Ashland area, and he was writing me. He says, Bill, I want to thank you for helping us publicize the documentary giving the history and conclusive evidence of geoengineering. This was in Ashland a few weeks ago. There may be a couple of dozen people showed up for it. Nobody recommended or mentioned your recommendation, and I doubt anyone came because of the announcement on your show. But you weren't exactly helping promote it, and I understand that, even though you're never afraid to speak out. This is something being aggressively denied and few people care. So why stick your neck out? I wrote this night right after the show, but I noticed it's in my draft pile and apparently I didn't send it. But Bill, it's not consistent with your usual common sense that you don't see or you refuse to acknowledge plain facts. There is no doubt geoengineering has been funded by the government and weaponized by the military for a long time. It's in media stories and government records going back over a half century that I know of. And Louis continues, as a kid in the 1950s, I heard about cloud seeding to bring on rain. On the website zeroengineering.com that I repeated on your show, the documentation goes on and on, citing things in news stories and federal budgets for funding, etc. Once such projects have standing for a long time, they seem to have a life of their own. All right, I wanted to address that, Louis, because I appreciate your writing, and there's a reason why I am loath to go down the geoengineering rabbit hole. And I've tried to explain this before, and I'm going to go on the record again about this. First off, is the fact that I'm tired of the nonsense that every time that we see a line in the sky that is obviously a condensation from north-south travel on the airline the travel routes over the state of Oregon, over our particular area. And then, look, it's there, and then it stops, and then it starts, and it stops, and it's just like, obviously, they're spraying us. No, it's condensate, all right? It's contrail. They're clouds. They're little mini clouds behind the plane, and sometimes the atmospheric conditions are just right that they will stay and persist for a while. Same way, a cloud can stay and persist for a while, and sometimes they'll start spreading out just like clouds can spread out. Now, not always. I've never said that there is no such thing as geoengineering, and I myself have even admitted, yep, there's a lot of black box funding there, and sometimes non-black box funding that's out there in. But the problem that I've gotten to is that every time there's a line in the sky, some idiot says we're being sprayed upon. No, that's not the case. You have to have a higher level of proof on something like that. Other people will call me with the nonsense that there is, what they're doing, they're putting it in the airline fuel. They're putting these metals and things in the airline fuel. And anybody that knew half the things, had half a modicum of common sense about how jet engines work, know that the fuel has to be pure. And if you're putting any kind of barium or any kind of oxide or whatever it is, so that way you're going to try to spray out there and cool the planet or warm the planet or whatever geoengineering you're trying to do, you would quickly destroy your jet engine. And so I get that kind of stuff. It's just, oh, just stop it. Just stop it, stop it, stop it. Okay? But the most important aspect of why I choose not to go down the geoengineering rabbit hole is because it is an energy suck. I've noticed that there are people that are very big into this. God bless you. You spin wheels on this time and time again. It's far above your pay grade right now. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and I will probably repeat this until I'm kicked off the air some year. And that would be, I'll tell you what. When you get control of your state and local government and policies, and you get to the point where they're no longer doing your stack and pack, they're no longer destroying your property rights, they're no longer slashing and burning in your downtown streets and putting in road diets for the bums and making it difficult for you to, you know, conduct your business. When you rise up and take your energy and passion and get control of your local and state governments, then maybe you can take on the federal geoengineering. But you haven't even gotten to the point where you're making city councilors afraid of the people of what they want to do with state transportation. Just the road diets, just taking care of the road diets and the property rights that are going around here. They continue to war against you every day and you lay down for it. And what? You get 2 dozen people in Ashland or 3 dozen or even 100 people in Ashland, and you're going to be going and taking on the Geoengineering Inc. through Washington, D.C. and or, you know, the globalist cabal. Get control of your local community first. Fire Map Marsh. Jeff Golden Brown, Jeff Golden Brown Forest, Burnt Forest fire maps and things like that. Get control of that sort of stuff. The stuff that are clear and present dangers and right in your face and not subject to any conspiracy theories because they're happening right here in your community and you can see it right now. Get control of that first. And then maybe once you've demonstrated that you can actually get enough activism and passion to get control of your local governments and your communities and your county and states, then maybe you take it up the food chain a bit and work on the federal government. But I think that the geoengineering conspiracy, and there's a lot of truth to it. I'm not denying it. But I think it is almost designed to keep us focused away from getting control of what your Ashland City Council is doing or your Medford City Council is doing or the lay down for state policy or nobody fighting back against the climate-friendly agenda, which is all designed to keep you poor and unhappy, all right? You won't fight that, but you'll go down the geoengineering hole that you're not going to be able to do much to effect on. You're not going to be able to have much effect on that. It's bigger forces in play, higher up the food chain. Start at what you can change right now. That's kind of where I'm coming from at this point. And like even Mr. X has talked about, if you got your evidence, if you have evidence, take it to your local officials, and go ahead and have them work on it or ignore it, which is probably what they will end up doing. But make them not ignore it, if that's the case. But you have to bring some passion on it. And I look at geoengineering and the chemtrail field as one of the biggest energy sucks of activism. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of geoengineering ends up being done. But hey, you know, we're going to keep them so PO'd at the skies all the time that that they'll leave us alone and all the other stuff. I wouldn't even be surprised about that. It's kind of where I'm coming from, all right? It's 6:33, and this is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED 99.3 KBXG.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars. And why? It starts with an overall knowledge of the area. But even more importantly, a local agent is a friend.
Our experts will find the source of the problem and provide permanent solutions to make your foundation safe and solid again. So if you suspect your foundation has issues, don't wait for things to get worse. Call Terra Firma today for a free evaluation.
Visit GoTerraFirma.com.
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:39, join in at 770-5633, 770-KMED, because it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. L.A. Marzulli, for some reason, is probably sucked into a big chemtrail cloud, so we'll have to try to see if we can get him rescheduled. I don't know, but UAP is happening tomorrow, that UAP-UFO meeting in Congress is going to be a big deal. We'll talk about that for sure, hopefully sometime later this morning. Hi, good morning. Since it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, good morning, and hi, who's this? Welcome. Okay, I thought you were there. You got to be ready to go on the air. If you call, we'll just kind of let that be then, okay? It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. If you wanted to check in, 770-5633. It's a time in which we can make calls and concerns. Listen to your phone, though. Don't listen to the radio, okay? All right. Now, I've been very happy in one respect, and I don't know if you have been either, but I've been quite pleased that we haven't had much of any violence. There's been some violence which has been going on, but not a whole lot of violence. There's been some of it. There have been people, reports of people committing suicide around the country post-election. But I kind of look at that as a thinning of the herd, really, okay? That's a thinning of the herd. And, you know, if you have people that are committing suicide over the politics, I can't really help you much about that. I feel very badly about it. But as my boss and I were talking about this morning, who are the crazy ones when you see those kind of stories? When you see people who are taking themselves out of the situation at the moment, okay? Point being, though, it's been pretty quiet, other than noisy of them talking about Trump, Hitler, et cetera, et cetera. But what can we take from this? What can we take from this? Was the cheat machine not in play? No, that's not the case at all. The cheat machine was working. Now, I've talked about this guy before, Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief, in which he comments on a lot of politics and issues in our troubled world. That he, like me and others, have been surprised that about the Trump win, because the assumption was that the cheat machine was going to be in there and it was going to be a big deal. It was going to be a big deal. Did the cheat machine know? Not happen? Well, actually, they tried. I'm going to share a little bit about what Joel has to say. The Democrat machine did a lot to make it happen again, including registering hundreds of thousands of illegals, ballot harvesting, and getting activist judges to block the purging of voter rolls and voter ID mandates. But this time it wasn't enough to overcome the overwhelming votes for Trump, although they did blunt it to look close. But this time the Trump team took back control of the RNC. And that was what I was talking about yesterday when I was talking with Dr. Powers about it. Vivek Ramaswamy probably helped Donald Trump more than practically everyone else, even more than Elon Musk, because he got rid of McDaniel, the old RNC chair, who was very reactive, who would then react to, oh, they cheated, and now we have to file lawsuits after the fact. No, what this RNC did this time around was to file lawsuits and get lawyers involved right in the beginning. fact, there's a website you can go to right now called the Protect the Vote RNC website. Dozens and dozens of examples of the Democratic cheat that was in place on election time. I'll just share just some of these. This is from the website. Just got a report of a Republican poll watcher getting kicked out of a polling place in Hastings. Lawyers are on it. They had hundreds of lawyers on speed dial, folks. Democrats caught cheating in Pennsylvania already by denying Republican poll watchers access. GOP deployed lawyers, got them let in. Don't let Democrats bully you if you see something legally recorded and posted to X. Here's another one. After suing the city of Milwaukee over poll watchers during early voting, RNC lawyers told a judge today they've received zero complaints from Republican observers and there was no need to address the motion. Republican National Lawyers Association accusing Democrats in the Department of Justice of trying to force the Commonwealth to put ineligible voters on the voter rolls, which gets overturned by a judge. Republicans applaud ruling. Uncensored Sonic writing. The election integrity team that Trump built for this election avoided such scams. There were over 200,000 people volunteering and employed for this purpose, and 500 lawyers per swing state to avoid Dem BS like stopping counts and not allowing Republican poll watchers into their counties. Here's another one from that site. Lawyers at the Republican National Committee forced Bucks County, PA to immediately reopen for three extra days because of the polling stations that they closed early. All right. Lawyers constantly dealing with voters reporting that election officials are claiming computers are down. The site will be closing early. Lawyers get the judges to force the polls to stay open. So don't think that the cheat machine wasn't working. Cheat machine was working. It wasn't able to overcome. It's kind of like what Trump was talking about, too big to rig. So it's a pretty good thing. Really was. It's a quarter before seven. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. We could talk about most anything on your mind over the next hour or so. Herman and I are going to be talking about the urban-rural divide here in Oregon and what that portends for Oregon politics, too. This is the Bill Myers Show on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.
As a business owner, you...
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Now, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday doesn't have to be like something's bugging you. It could be a pet rose. Is that kind of what Dave is saying over in the Iron Gate? Hey, Dave, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah.
Hey, before we hold on, Dave, just for a second. Before we get into what you were going to mention, I wanted to ask you, what happened with the meeting that happened the other day in which people were gathering together concerned about how beat up the roads are around the dam removal area at KRRC or at the Klamath? Did anything happen with that?
I didn't get to go to that. I was busy, but I would say that we need the road fixed, and it needs to be structurally fixed, by pulling up the old asphalt, fixing the grade underneath it, mm-hmm. and then repaving it. It does need that. The road's falling apart.
Isn't part of that supposed to be done by KRRC in exchange for having just destroyed the road during all the dam removal process? Because it's been really hurting people in Northern California, that area, Copco Road.
Well, I've known people who've gotten flat tires and had to pay $700 for a tire and a new rim.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that it needs to be fixed. They supposedly put money up for the county afterwards to fix it, but I don't know how much they put up or if they put up anything. But it seemed to be mute on that.
Okay. All right. So you called, though, about Captain Bill Simpson and his quest right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. On the RFK Unity website, he's taken nominations for positions in the government mm-hmm. that don't have to be approved by the Senate. They're just lower level jobs, but Captain Bill would be good in the position of taking over the director over the horses so that he could stop the abuse of the BLM on the horses. And I think he'd be really good position. And if you can get to, I'm sure you have it up on your website, to the link to go vote for him. You do have to sign up to be a member, but if you, and then you can comment. Lynn Barton, she commented on a post that I posted about Captain Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think he's third or second place right now to be in charge of the Wild Horse in the Burrow program. Last time I had looked at that. And by the way, the website is mahanow.org. And RFK is doing quite a service here right now, trying to pre-screen some people that don't necessarily have to be, like you had mentioned, approved by Congress, but could actually fill some positions within the federal government that would be, I mean, and who knows more about the wild horse issue than Captain Bill Simpson? I mean, really, he's a perfect example, right? I can't think of anyone.
Plus, he's educating the next generation. He's got hooks up in the university, and he's bringing interns out, and they're actually learning how the horses, what they do.
It would really be nice to see some decentralization. I know there's been talk within the Trump administration that there's going to be an attempt to get some of these agencies like BLM no longer really run out of Washington, D.C., but sent out to the states where it would be a little closer to the people.
It's just like I've been nominated for Bureau of Mines. It's not up. My profile's not up yet, but I'm running for the Bureau of Mines to get funding. And, I want my office right here in Wairika. I don't want to go to D.C.
Why not? Who wants to go to D.C. to talk about mining policy, right? All right, appreciate the call there, Dave. Thanks for that. 770-563-3770-KMED. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Who are some local people that might work really well within the federal government? Like I said, Captain Bill running the borough system, the Wild Horse and Borough system, I think that would be a pretty good fit. Really is. And he doesn't dislike the wild horses and the wild burros either. He would be looking for a way to keep everybody happy rather than rounding them up and making them a very expensive burden on the taxpayer. Crazy Gene or not so crazy Gene? I don't know which one it is today here. How you doing, D? Gene, go ahead.
Pretty good. I was calling up because I've noticed when you first start a movie, they have the startup screens on the movies for whoever produced the movie and directed the movie.
Uh-huh.
Well, I would notice that on Lionsgate that there's a constellation of Leo is pictured in there and the rest of the universe and the galaxy, but they've got the constellation of Leo, and it looks like a lot of stuff is moving towards the heart of Leo.
Okay. Is there some significance to that? That is...
Well, heaven's got to be somewhere.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to understand. Maybe I'm not following you all that well.
Well, I just think some things that we don't pay any attention to could be very important, and we just don't notice it until it's shoved right into our face.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, stay crazy, okay? Appreciate the call.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Only not so crazy, Gene. Hey, by the way, there is a listener who I haven't heard one from here for a little while. And I just wanted to put out a call. You know Jean from Wilderville? We used to call her Grumpy Jean. Haven't heard from her in a little while. Has anyone kept a hold of her? Because she was usually very consistent in checking in. Now, I know she's not a young woman, but has anybody heard about Jean from Wilderville? Especially someone in Joe County. I would appreciate your help on that. I do not have her phone number, and I was going to try to call her. I'm sure I do have her in there someplace, but, you know, I don't know which one it is and all the caller ID. But that's one of those things where I just want to keep in touch with our radio family, wherever they are, and no matter how grumpy or crazy they may be. It's 653.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble.
6 to 8 on KMED.
657 on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. And, of course, that theme means that Lucretia has stumbled into consciousness. All right, Lucretia, it's a three-way, it's a hat trick here this morning on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday calls. So what are you thinking this morning, huh?
Well, you know, my brother sent me something. It was on, I forget what channel, but it was like Alex Jones is accepting the White House press secretary role. Mm-hmm. And I wrote my brother back saying, this BS. And then I Googled it. And I couldn't believe what Snoop said, that they were actually talking and how it would be good if he accepted that position. And I couldn't believe Snoop said that.
Alex Jones as the press secretary. Okay.
And now it's on the site. he has literally accepted, and it's going to strike fear in the D.C. swamp.
Now, you sent me that this morning. That was one of the funniest stories that I have seen this morning. I don't think there's that. I can't find any evidence of this actually being true. But there, of course, he did tweet or do a post on X about this, that he has accepted his role as the as a press secretary.
Well, on his site, he said he's accepted it.
Yeah. Not that it's necessarily been offered, I think. But here is now it's funny, though, to look at the mainstream news, how they're responding to this, like MSN, as an example. Now that Donald Trump is headed back to the White House, I looked into this story because, like I said, I laughed when you sent this to me. I said, I don't think this is legit or not. It may be legit in what Alex Jones said. Because remember, right. InfoWars has all been sold off. All his stuff is being liquidated. It's a tough time to be Alex Jones, all right? But it says...
Yeah, I don't... You know, you and I don't really believe he went along with that whole thing. He just accepted. That was ridiculous. You have freedom of speech, and we know there was more stuff going on.
And I would agree with you on that. And I don't know how you slander people that were never talked about directly. But now that Donald Trump is headed back to the White House, MSN writes... we're learning more about exactly who he will be working with during his second term. Trump has already announced that Susie Wiles, blah, blah, blah. We know that. A more unexpected announcement came from Twitter, where conspiracy theorist Alex Jones said that he had accepted the role of press secretary in Trump's administration. Now many want to know whether Jones, who famously lies a lot, is telling the truth about this. Here is what we know.
And you know, did you see the picture of him in front of that truck with his like gun? That was unreal.
It is unreal. Well, it reminded me of President Camacho in Idiocracy. So I would dare say that Alex Jones is probably doing a lot to maybe get a little attention, or maybe he's having people nominate him for press secretary on the RFK Jr. site. I don't know. Have you checked that out lately? I haven't checked it out this morning.
I haven't.
Yeah. I really don't think you have. Now, the thing is, though, if Alex Jones is a liar, then that would be a good job for a press secretary, because essentially the press secretary has to lie and spin in order to defend the administration. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, because I don't know how he'll do it. He's not that big of a liar. You have to have
ability, though, to fudge the truth and shade it a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're going to be seeing Alex there anytime soon, although that would make it very entertaining. You'd have to agree.
Okay.
Right? All right. Alex Jones as press secretary. I'd almost pay to see that, wouldn't you? It's a minute after 7. Hi, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. Hi, KMED. Who's this? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Vicki from the Applegate.
Hi, Vicki. How are you doing this morning? What's on your mind?
Good. I'm just wondering, have you heard anything about, now that Trump's been elected, has he taken any kind of precautions? I heard that somebody tried to assassinate him again after the election. So is he going to be, like, taking any kind of precautions, putting his own security team together to protect him to get to January 20th?
I don't know anything directly about that. I would imagine Trump has, even though he has Secret Service protection, which you want to depend on nothing but Secret Service protection given the performance this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that.
Yeah, I would imagine that he has some pretty heavy-duty security around him at this point. I'll look that up, though. I haven't heard any particular stories. Now, what you were talking about, though, was a plot that was unveiled about the Iranian agents wanting to go after him, right? That was what was announced. And that came from the little troll in the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, you know, about that, who announced that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, Biden, why don't they – he's incompetent, everybody knows, and first aid lady Jill, she should be arrested. And Kamala is – oh, my God, she's an idiot. So why don't they just put him in now? Why do they have to wait?
Oh, because it's the term. The term,
I know,
the term doesn't start till January. That's all.
Well, I know, but under the circumstances, doesn't it make sense just to get those people out now? Because he's not... I mean, he's not capable of being the president, Biden.
Yeah, you got to understand, though, a lot of pardons have to be handed out before the reins of power are handed over, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be a lot of Democratic criminals that are going to have to be forgiven by Joe Biden, I think, before Donald Trump is allowed to really step in. But I don't know.
Well,
you know,
Trump was going to pardon Biden. What is that about?
I think that this is, and there has been talk about that. And I think this is kind of going back to the Nixon era, where whatever crimes we think may have happened during someone's administration, Donald is really, and I think he is sincerely looking at this point, Vicky, for a way to unite a very difficult to unite country right now. And I think he's looking for ways to pour a little bit of soothing oil on the boiling water right now to try to, you know, calm things down and lower the temperature a bit here, because, you know, you still have the MSNBC types and the childless cat ladies that are going out there, Trump, literal Hitler, yada, 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 cutting their hair, saying they're not going to have sex with men, et cetera. I mean, there's all sorts of craziness which is going on right now. And I think Trump genuinely, because remember, Trump genuinely loves the country. In spite of the political differences, in spite of all of these political differences, he loves the country. And I think that he is trying to find East, because, you know, Trump is always throwing stuff at the wall, right? Even in those rallies, he would throw out some of the most outrageous things just to see, kind of like a live focus group. You just throw it out there and see what would stick.
Right.
And I think why he was even talking about maybe paying off the Kamala Harris campaign debt, $20 million, just to try to, you know, it's like offering, a peace offering of sorts, that kind of thing.
Well, it says a lot about his character and that he is not vindictive. He's not an evil person. If he can, you know, pardon somebody like, you know, Hunter Biden, that says a lot about his character. He's not in it for revenge like some of these other people are.
Well, and it's also well known that he's talking about pardoning most, if not all, of the January 6th people when he comes into office. And I think that would be a good thing. Let's get this sordid chapter of the country behind us and move forward. And I think it's actually an honest thing he's trying to do, a good thing he's trying to do. Appreciate the call there, Vicky. We'll take one more here before news. Hi, good morning. Pebble in your shoe, Tuesday Central. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, good morning. It's Deplorable Patrick, and have I got an idea for you?
Okay, what's that?
You and I are going to get rich, man.
Okay.
Here's the idea. They've got a lot of liberals out here that are just really annoyed and PO'd with Trump winning. And I've got a solution for them and for us. What we do is you know a lot of people, and you can probably round up some money. Get us into a gas station.
Uh-huh.
We'll be partners. Now, let's keep this just between the two of us.
Which is why you call a talk show, to keep it between just the two of us. Okay.
That's right. Uh-huh. And that's right. And here's what we'll do. We'll have a gas station. Everybody will be paying $2 a gallon under Trump. But our gas station will be the Never Trump gas station, and have a sign out there, hey, liberals, if you really hate Trump, buy gas here, and they can buy gas from us for $4 a gallon just to spite Trump, just to get even with Trump.
You know, I would go one further. I think that we have to have our gasoline at the Never Trump gas station at whatever the – because, you know, carbon – they're putting another carbon tax on the California gas. It'll have to match the California climate-friendly, equitable community gas tax, whatever it is. It's going to be like $5.75 a gallon.
Kamala voters will be lined up at our gas station to pay Biden-era gas prices just to get even with Trump.
We'll get rich. I like the idea, and we put all sorts of anti-Trump. We put, Trump is Hitler and stuff like that. And so you and I clean up down in Ashland, right, for the people who drive internal combustion vehicles. Okay.
I'll be down there pumping gas my head off, and you'll be talking on the radio about, hey, you know, we can really get even with Trump. You go down there and buy gas for double the price on around town.
So crazy, it just might work. Thanks.
I think it'll work.
Now he's got to get to work.